is great. No, I had good instructions. I just didn't follow them, I guess. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today. I do ask an interesting prayer for the time we stand before you. And I am appreciative of what we've set aside this far. You know, it's an amazing thing, the liberties that we have. We are blessed with great liberty in this country. And when I think about this country, I can't help but think about Israel. When I look back and I look at the history of the country that we live in, and I look at the history of Israel, there are so many similarities that it is scary. It's scary in that we take it for granted on so many occasions. We take it for granted many times. And I can assure you that when you think about Israel, a little nothing country, being delivered from the greatest superpower on the planet, and then you think about this country, 13 little bitty colonies, were blessed to stand up against the greatest superpower on the planet. I've got a book that has a recording of prayers that were transcribed, written down, of George Washington. And from time to time, I'll go and I'll look at it. And then I think about some of the presidents we have today, and it breaks my heart. When I think about the way that those men desired to serve the Lord and the language that they used, and then some of the language that's used today, it'll sicken your heart. But one of the things that I want you to understand is this. I really don't care who sits in the presidency of the United States of America, I'll be honest with you. My confidence is not in the government that we have here, but it's in the government that rests upon the shoulders of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because no matter who sits in the Oval House, brethren, it's not going to change the fact of who rules and reigns in glory. And that's something that we need to remember, because it's something that we forget. But I will also tell you that we have great liberties in this country that we are always fearful of, as Brother Joe was praying. We're fearful of losing the liberties that we have. They've been chipped away at year after year. When you go back in Exodus 15, you're going to find, and it's amazing how, you know, I've used this illustration before. You know, you get a new truck, boy, and I'm telling you, you just got to keep her spotless. And then, you know, about a month or so goes by, and you're like, it'll rain sometime. It'll be okay. You just park it outside when it rains, it'll get washed off. Well, unfortunately, we are like that in every aspect of our life. Here in Exodus 15, you're going to find where they're still rejoicing in the deliverance of God. But it's not going to be long that you're going to see that we forget the deliverance of God. You follow Israel, you say, man, they've been delivered. They rejoice in the power of God, the might of God, and then they forget who's delivered them. They go over there and say, oh, no, we can't do this, we can't do that, because there's giants over there in that land. I mean, do you not remember the same God that just delivered you from the greatest superpower on the planet? And now all of a sudden you're saying, oh, we can't do this. How soon we forget. And brethren, I'm going to tell you, we do the exact same thing today. We are no better than they. We forget the same things. We forget the power and the might of God. We forget in whom it is that we put our confidence and trust, our hope and our salvation. Here in Exodus 15, first chapter, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. You know, I read this article the other day. They actually found chariot wheels out in the middle of the Red Sea. Most amazing thing. I wonder how they got there. Yeah, it's not a mystery to me, brethren. I know how the chariot wheels got in the midst of the Red Sea. Because God provided a great deliverance for Israel through the midst of the Red Sea. And yes, they walked over on dry shod. And yes, Pharaoh's army was covered with the depth of the sea. I'm going to tell you, that was not a shallow crossing that they made. It wasn't like, oh, the tide went out and they went across and the tide come back in. I mean, my goodness, if that were the case, I heard one time, it doesn't matter, but this guy said, oh, it was really not the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea, and it was about a foot deep. The guy said, praise the Lord, Pharaoh's army drowned in a foot of water. You know, I mean, you think about it, it's a miracle either way, right? It's a miracle either way. I'm going to tell you, they were covered in the depth of the sea, brethren. So Moses and them are rejoicing in this deliverance of God. You know, I love to see one of God's little children. You know, it's amazing, Brother James, when somebody that's tasted that the Lord is gracious, they're on fire for the Lord because all these things are fresh. And there's so many times we sit on a pew and we can hear God's grace all our life and we're like, yeah. Brother, it's still the greatest news ever told. It's still the best news you can ever find out. It's good news from our home country. But we take it for granted. Here, boy, it's fresh on their minds. They sang this new song. They sang this song unto the Lord as fake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. You ever think about some of the adjectives and the adverbs in God's word? To him that can do exceedingly abundantly above. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Man, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I love the abundance of God's word. Because our God is a God of abundance. His mercy is not going to run out. His love is not going to run out. His grace is not going to run out. Because he is a God of abundance. And he has blessed us abundantly. And we see that in glimpses of that from time to time. So he didn't just triumph, you see. But he triumphed gloriously. I love the fact that he gloriously triumphed. We need to remember that. That this triumph that we have is a glorious triumph. He gloriously triumphed. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. Well, they're singing this song today, but it's not going to be long. They're not going to be singing this song. They're going to forget the Lord's their strength and song. They're going to be like, that's some bad dudes over there. Can't go in there. Two of them said, oh, yeah, let's go. Everybody else said, we can't do it. Forgot where their strength came. Forgot where their rejoicing is. The Lord is my strength. And it's my prayer to God that be something we wake up to every morning thinking that the Lord is my strength and my song. He's my security. He's my deliverance. He's my salvation. He's my prophet. He's my priest. He's my king. He's my heavenly Father. I'm going to tell you, brethren, we are blessed beyond measure. And I think so many times we take it for granted. But here, oh, it's fresh on our mind. He's my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. Man, I want you to think about this for just a moment. I don't even want to preach on this, but while we're here, let's look at it. Behold, the habitation of God is with men. Do we make room? You ever thought about that? God doesn't just call us to serve him on Sunday morning, brother. Matter of fact, he doesn't just call us to serve him with the praise of our lips. A lot of people think, oh, we just praise him with our lips. He said, oh, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. You see, God has called us to worship him in body, soul, and spirit. Everything that we have is his. But we don't make room for it. Because we've got to make room for everything else. You ever thought about that? Do we have room? Is it really a habitation? Is that something we think of on a daily basis? Lord, I want to walk with you today, and I want you to walk with me, and I need to feel your presence, because if I'm going to make it through another day, I need you with me. I need to be with you. And it's kind of like this. You know, David one time cried out, Lord, are you clean gone forever? See, he thought the Lord had forsaken him. You know, but God has promised us he would never leave us or forsake us. He'll never leave us comfortless. He's never where he's not with us. He knows the very hairs of your head. But many times in our life, we, like David, Lord, you're clean gone forever. You forgot us. I reminded this old man and woman. They were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And they were driving over to the celebration their kids were putting on. And they were in the pickup truck. Wife done got fighting mad. She said, I just can't believe it. You remember when we first got married? We rode just side by side, like two heads in one body. And now you sat all the way over there. And you know what he said? He said, honey, I hadn't moved. I thought that was hilarious. You know what? So many times in our life, we think the Lord's clean gone forever. I got news for you. The Lord has not moved. He's the same place he's always been. But I'm going to tell you, our iniquities separate us from our God. From time to time, this old sin and the weakness thereof draws us away from serving God. And we begin to go through the motions, but our heart is far from him. But we go through the motions. We look like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But the problem is, our hearts and minds are somewhere else. I'll never forget Brother Edward Rushing one time. When I was early on in my ministry, I was preaching over at Antioch. He told me, he said, Brother Luke, I'll tell you what, he said, I ain't coming back to church till I get everything done. I got to get done. I said, what is wrong with you, man? Have you lost your mind? And that stuck out. I mean, I still remember that today. He said, the whole time I was sitting back there, he said, I was thinking about the stuff I got to get done, and I wasn't here. I was here, but I wasn't here. He said, I want to be here. Hey, I get what he says now. I know what he meant by that. I'm going to tell you, brethren, when we come, I hope our hearts are set and focused on one thing, and that is worshiping a Most High God who has triumphed gloriously. But not only has he triumphed gloriously, brethren, but he has triumphed gloriously on our behalf. And I'm going to tell you, he is worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise that we can give him. We praise him poorly now. If there's coming a day, we're going to praise him perfectly, but we ought to get good practice at it right now. We ought to work our very best to serve him as we ought right now, because I'm telling you, it's coming a day, you won't have anything that'll beset you from serving him the way he's called you to serve him. But until that day, it's a continual battle and struggle to keep this old body in subjection and to keep this old mind in subjection so that we might focus on the things that are important. Because old Satan, there's two things he uses an awful lot, and that's distraction and discouragement. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's his two favorite tools to use, and we let him bring them in our house all the time. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him in habitation. My question this morning is, do we make sure we got room for the Lord in this habitation that is that of God? I ain't no doubt he dwells with us and in us. But I'm going to tell you, far too many times it's like he's simply a visitor here and there. He needs to take up abode, and we need to take up abode with him, and we need to dwell there, and we need to strive to dwell there and inhabit that land. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. I'm thankful the Lord's a man of war. You know, people today make Jesus Christ to be a sissy. It makes me sick. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is no sissy. He is triumphant. He is glorious. He's a man of war. And you know the good news is, brethren, he's on our side. That's what you got to remember. Yeah, he's a man of war, but I'm going to tell you, he fought our battles for us. We have victory in Jesus. We sang that song this morning. We have victory in Jesus because a man of war has fought a battle that we couldn't win. We couldn't win it. We couldn't fight it. We couldn't even stand up. Matter of fact, we were dead in trespasses and sin. And I'm going to tell you, he had triumphed gloriously on our behalf. We need to remember, he's a man of war. I'm going to tell you, these preachers out here today that preach that Satan is robbing somebody from Jesus. I don't know what Jesus they're worshiping, because that's not the Jesus I read about in this Bible. The Jesus I read about in this Bible is one that speaks and men fall back as dead men. He's one who even the devils know that their time is marked, and there's coming a day that he's going to bind them up and cast them into a pit of fire. Hell is the place, and it's reserved for the devil and his angels, and he's going to throw them there because he has all power and authority and glory, because why? God gave it to him. I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody stealing anything from Jesus Christ. If they could, then that's who you ought to worship, because he's stronger than the strong man. But I'll tell you, our strong man have triumphed gloriously. We need to remember that. We need to remember that he is one. He's a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Papa, you say, I swim like a rock. You swim like a rock. I'm telling you, going to the bottom. They swam like a rock. Right to the bottom. I'd hate to know I was cast in the sea with a full body of armor on. It's bad enough. You ever tried swimming with tennis shoes and blue jeans on? Imagine a whole coat of arms. Not going to be good for you. It's like an anchor. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. I'm going to tell you, you might shoot through an enemy and think you got him laid by, and then all of a sudden he'll pop back up later on. He could heal, right? But when he's dashed in pieces, you ain't coming back from that one. You see, the enemy hadn't just been injured or wounded. I want you to know, the enemy has been destroyed. That's what he's saying here. The enemy has been dashed in pieces. I got news for you, brother. Our elder brother, he's whooped all our enemies. Every single one of them. He didn't just whip them and put them on the road, but I'm going to tell you, he hath destroyed them. You know, the Bible says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy is going to be death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, it's been swallowed up, brethren. You know why? Because Jesus Christ has triumphed gloriously and dashed in pieces the enemy. How? Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the, here's another one of these terms, and in the greatness of thine excellency. I love that. The greatness of thine excellency. Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. You see, the enemies of the Lord are nothing more than stubble. But here he's talking about this right hand. All right? So, right hand, O Lord, has become glorious. One of the things I think of when I think about that is over in Psalms, in the 8th division of Psalms. O Lord, our Lord. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's fine, good, but when he becomes our Lord, it becomes real important. Right? So the Lord can be Lord out there, but I'm going to tell you, when he's Lord in here, it makes a big difference in your life. Right? Somebody tell me about the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, when they started telling me about the Lord, I was like, that's my Lord. That's important now. That's the Lord who loved me and redeemed me and died for me. That becomes altogether more important at that point in time. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You know what's more excellent than that? We've been given this name, a name above every other name, because we're the bride of Christ. We've been given a name that is an excellent name above all the names of the earth. No greater name could we be given than the one our faithful husband has given unto us, our elder brother. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens. I want you to watch this. We're talking about, so, go back over here, Exodus. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Here's the right hand of the Lord. This ain't two hands, this is one hand. You ever heard somebody was so bad, said, man, I'll whoop you with one hand tied behind my back. And we're just talking about one hand here. We're not talking about both hands. It's just one hand. One hand is powerful, glorious, and dashed in pieces the enemy. Not both hands. He didn't lay two hands. Just one. But get this right here, because I'm telling you, this will start painting a picture of just how glorious this hand is. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. Woo! Now look, have y'all ever considered the heavens? You know, scientists, they had this great big idea. They were going to number all the stars. You know what they figured out? Can't number them. You know what I could have told them? I could have saved them a whole lot of trouble and money and told them they couldn't number them, because we'd already been told that, had we not? His children are more numerous than the stars in heaven, the sands and the sea. It's a number which no man can number. All right, so if it's a number which no man can number, you're wasting your time. It's futile to try to number the stars, because guess what? You're not going to get it. The Lord done told you. You couldn't do it. Why would you even waste tax dollars for that? That's dumb. I ain't talking about politics. But anyway, it is dumb. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. When you think about just a finger, he says all this you see, that's just the work of his fingers. Man, that's powerful. I don't know. I've met some strong men before, but I've never seen anyone do anything like that with just a finger. Just the work of his fingers, this glorious creation that we call the heavens. You look and see the moon, the stars, and the planets and all. That's just the work of his fingers. Man, I'm going to tell you, this set things in order. We think about the powerful hand over here. We got the work of his fingers here, but do you know what it took? Do you know what it took for him to redeem us? It wasn't just the fingers, brother. It wasn't just the hand. But a body hast thou prepared me. Oh, it took the whole body, brethren. Not just the finger of the hand. It wasn't just the voice that he spoke, because he spoke this world to existence. And by faith, we know that the worlds were framed by him. He just spoke it into existence. And the stars in the heavens, just a finger work. In his mighty hand, we've seen victories time and time again. But when it comes to redeeming your soul from hell, it took his whole body. It took everything that he was. Body, soul, and spirit. I'm going to tell you, brethren, that is a work that no man, if the finger work of this God is the heavens that we can't even begin to number or comprehend, then how in the world could you think you could accomplish something that it took God, the man manifest in the flesh, and offering his body a sacrifice for sin? How could you pay that debt? How could it be paid by a mere sinful mortal creature? When you consider the power of this God, who the stars and the heavens are just the finger work of God. I'm going to tell you, it's a mighty hand. Yes, that's a mighty finger. But I'm going to tell you, he loved you so much he gave himself for you. Both hands, all 10 fingers, body, soul, and spirit. And endured a chastisement and a punishment that, praise God, we will never, ever have to endure. Because the Lord cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm going to tell you, brethren, God had turned his face from his only begotten so that he could turn his face upon us. He had to, brethren. He had to. And the agony that he endured on our behalf, we'll never comprehend. Pray, that's good news, brother. Praise God. We'll never comprehend it, but I'm going to tell you, we need to remember it. We need to remember, yes, a mighty hand. We need to remember, yes, mighty fingers. We need to remember that what he done for us took his whole self. When you think about this hand of God, I want you to think about this. He says that all the waters of the earth just rest there in the hollow of his hand. Man, y'all ever thought about that? You know, I think Brother Joe probably tells us, what is that right there, about a teaspoon? I might be a tablespoon. It just depends on your paw, I reckon. About four in my hand, okay. Four teaspoons, that's about a teaspoon, and a tablespoon and a third, if I'm, my math is right. But the fact of the matter is, God, it says that his hand is so large that he could meet out the heavens with a span. That's a span. He could measure out the heavens, which we can't even see to the end of. And he just meted it out with the span of his hand. He can hold all the waters of the earth right there in the hollow of his hand. But the best news ever is this, brother. Over in Isaiah it says, can a woman forget her sucking child? He says, yea, she may. Yep, she might. You know what he says? But I'll never forget you. Why? Because the work he had to do to accomplish it. It wasn't just something he spoke. It wasn't just a finger work. It wasn't just the work of a mighty hand. And brethren, I tell you, it's a mighty hand. But I'm going to tell you, it was his whole self that he gave on our behalf. And he says, I'll never forget you. For I have graven thee. Now notice, so many people mess that up. They say that he's graven their names. No, there's a place your names are written, brethren, but that's the Lamb's Book of Life. It says that ye are graven in the palms of his hand. And now we go over to John, and I'm going to bring my remarks to a close with this. Knowing of the excellency and the glorious victory that he's wrought with just his hand and the mighty works of his finger and the vastness of his hand that he can hold all the waters of the oceans of this whole earth, which, by the way, is 76% water, can be held right there in the hollow of his hand. Not only that, but he's got all of his children graven in the palms of his hand. Wherever before him, we're always on his mind. But I'm going to tell you the best news is this. Jesus Christ gives us a promise in the 10th chapter of John. And he says, no man, not even the devil, can pluck them from my Father's hand. I got news for you, brethren. Yes, the Lord is a Lord of war. But praise God, he's won the victory for us. And that's why we can say, comfort you, my people. Comfort you, my people. Crying to her that her warfare is accomplished. Why? Because the captain of our salvation has triumphed gloriously. And I got news for you, fellow heirs of a most precious promise. No man, not even the devil, can pluck us from our Father's hand. That's a glorious truth. When you think about the fact that he just sprinkled them stars out there with them fingers, all the water sits right there. I'm going to tell you, brethren, there's none that can stay his hand. Not only is that mighty hand and that powerful hand mighty and powerful, but I'm going to tell you, it's one that had lifted us up out of the miry clay and secured us as his own and promised us a place in glory, at which time we're able to see him. And for that cause, we ought to be praying, Lord, come quickly. But until that day comes, let's make sure we got a habitation for him. Let's make sure we're looking for him. And let's make sure we endeavor to abide in his house in whatever capacity that may be. May the Lord bless you is our prayer.